entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Another teenage doofus who needs to prove to the world he's somebody shoots up his school and then, like the infant baby he is, shoots himself. You know, I do feel sorry for the people he's hurt, their families, and his family. But not him. He was a sick boy. No, he was selfish scum. He had a tough life. No, he was selfish scum. And the best thing we can do is to forget about this waste. Tough talk. But that's why you listen to the American Adversaries at Drive Time on AM660 The Answer. Larry Adams with you on a spectacular Friday. It's a great time to discuss real issues with our host, who sits at the other microphone, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thanks so much, Larry Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for being with us during Drive Time on AM 660 The Answer. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call my dear friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. And he is my personal dentist as well, so you can go down there and gossip about me. And we'll be talking about this shooting. I got a little bit different take than Lair, but we'll be talking about that on our show Sunday night. I see these things as a product of the world that we live in. Now, that may sound a little Marxist to you, but you'll have to tune in Sunday night to see what I mean by that. Also, Sunday night, we'll be talking about... We're getting a lot of requests about, you know, who should we vote for on our ballots and things like that. And be quite honest with you, I don't quite feel that it's our place to tell you who to be voting for. We make recommendations sometimes here on the air, but I hate to think that you're waiting for us to tell you who to vote for. I understand that you need a little help with the judicial candidates. We all do. There's a couple of great places you can go to get voter guides. That's flfamily.com, flfamily.com. Or you can go to lc.org, that's libertycouncil.org. They both have great voter guides on these judicial candidates. We will give you the up or down vote on a couple of them, but when it comes to the candidates, it's up to you to decide. And so what we're going to do Sunday night is I'm going to elaborate a little bit on what Pastor Rafael Cruz was talking about the other night when he said that in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, it describes how we should be choosing our leaders. And by the way, folks, it was handed down to Moses. The democratic republic form of government that we enjoy today was given to Moses. All right, so we'll be talking about that on our show Sunday night. And don't forget to tune in Carl Jackson tomorrow morning. He's got a couple of special guests lined up for you. That's Carl Jackson tomorrow live at 8 o'clock on AM 660, The Answer. Our phone number is 407-774-8255. We've got a lot of great folks in the studio with us tonight, folks. I think you're going to really get something out of tonight's show. We got, of course, it's Friday, so we have Dr. Ken Vihek with us. Dr. Kate?
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
I'm really good. As I said before, I should be in bed.
He should be, because he's going to be on the honor flight tomorrow.
It's just in a few hours.
You mean it's not Ebola?
No.
Okay, all right. That's the way you're at. Okay.
He is going to be on the honor flight, going out early, early in the morning.
Dark 30.
From Orlando International Airport. They'll be going up to Washington and with 25 World War II and a couple of Korean War veterans, and they'll be touring the World War, the war memorials up there, and end up their day at Arlington Cemetery.
Arlington, yeah, looking forward to that. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah, changing of the guard and all that great stuff. And Lair and I envy you you are able to do this, and we'll look forward to hearing your report when you get back tomorrow night.
It's going to be so cool.
And folks, you can welcome them back tomorrow night by going to the Orlando International Airport, Southwest Airlines arrival gate. The flight is due in about 9:30, and just the people are going to gather at the at the Starbucks there by where the Southwest arriving flights come in. You'll be able to find it real easy. Just look for the Starbucks there. Ask anybody in the Southwest area. 9:30 tomorrow night to welcome these guys back, and it's a fun time doing that as well. And so please come out and do that. And there's some other great things going on this weekend, too, that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on in the show with an old and dear friend of mine. A long-time dear friend of mine. I'm sorry.
That didn't sound quite as good as it could have.
I'm not always the best with the words around here, but Sherry Kebble, some of you folks may remember, but she was on our show, about 8-12 months ago, and talking about a documentary, a film that she was putting together. Well, it's being shown tomorrow at the Orlando Film Festival, and the star of the documentary is in the studio with us as well, Gina Ellis. And I want to thank you ladies for being with us. Please say hello real quick.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having us. We're so excited. I'm excited to be back, and I'm very excited to be sitting next to Gina here today.
And it's a lot of excitement going on this weekend downtown at the Cobb Plaza Theater with this film festival going on, and we'll be talking a lot about that.
And I get to sit next to her, too.
That's right, yeah. And I want to take care of a few things first. Obviously, we know there has been a shooting in Seattle. As I said, we'll be talking about that Sunday night. The details are coming out. It looks like it was a student after other students. A very tragic situation. And it just really saddens me when these things happen, when our youths are doing this to one another, whether it be in the inner city over gang drug violence or this sort of thing. It's just wasteful. And we should all feel responsible in a way. Also the Ebola thing in New York. Dr. K, we kind of knew this was going to happen with this sort of cavalier attitude that the CDC and this administration has had toward this disease.
Yeah, but it's New York. You're going to get out and take a stroll around the town. Why would you want to stay in board? I mean, there's only 7 million people in that city. Why would you want to quarantine yourself?
Isn't that like the cleanest city on earth?
It is.
Dr.
It's impeccable.
K?
You can eat right off of most of the dishes.
Yes.
Well, at some point.
The cockroaches are sterile, they say.
They are. They're nice and clean.
I'm generous with my criticism of the government and bureaucracies like the CDC because they don't have the proper safeguards in place. But at some point, a guy like this must have some personal responsibility, don't you think?
I mean, on the one hand, it
was a great humanitarian thing for him to go over there as part of this Doctors Without Borders. Mm-hmm. But he must have known to be amongst those infected by this disease, that he had to be extremely careful when he came back, regardless of the protocols, quote unquote.
Yes, regardless of the protocols. I mean, this is what, he's got a medical degree. He should know this, that I'm coming back from an infected area. It might not be the smartest thing to go out and mingle.
And go bowling and such as that.
Yeah, maybe a list of rules with that on it.
Well,
don't go bowling.
The bowling's not so bad because they do spray the shoes, so I guess he's okay there.
All right, let's go to Brad, who has a comment about Ebola. Brad, thank you for calling and being out there tonight.
Hey, guys. It's funny. On this busy news day, I've got two prime examples of how MSNBC and the liberal media sticks to their guns no matter what. The first is this guy with the hatchet trying to cut off policeman's head in New York, critically injuring one. Thankfully, he was shot dead. MSNBC buried that story once they found out that on his Facebook he's a recent convert to jihad and all that. And then, of course, the second one, the governor so smartly says, this doctor took really good responsibility, even though he knew 100 degree before the 103 was 100.3 and he was feeling fatigued, and he decides to go eat, get on the subway, take a cab, maybe cough and sneeze a little, and then put his fingers in a bowling ball, of course. This is a very responsible physician, according to Governor Cuomo. I'd like to ask Governor Cuomo if he'd like to put some of his appendages in that bowling ball's hole. I wonder what his answer would be.
Certainly, I think he would decline your invitation to do that. Thanks, Brad. We appreciate your call out there. And he has a point that the doctor, you know, wasn't feeling well. But my point is, everyone that's going over there into the hot zone, when they come back, they should, if they're not being quarantined in some fashion by the CDC or somebody, they should take it upon themselves. Because look now how this ripples out. And you talked about this. Yes. And regardless of whether this man has infected anyone else, look at the lives he has now disrupted just because he was around them.
And everybody's going to have to take the precautions, whether they, you know, walk by him in the street, whether they were, you know, 10 lanes down from him, you know, if they were in the same bowling alley during, you know, what, like, let's just say a 4 or 5 hour period before they shut the bowling alley down, which they did, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, of course.
But still, look at everybody who this person comes in contact with in some way, shape, or form. Even on the periphery.
Look what it costs them.
Yeah.
The bowling alley to have to be shut down and cleaned. Yeah. I mean, the subway systems, you know, for some of these other people.
Yeah, it certainly was a terrible act of carelessness and perhaps recklessness on his part.
So it makes you wonder, you know, if somebody can do this unwittingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Think about it if somebody wanted to do this intentionally.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on the show, it's a distinct possibility and a terrifying thought at that. By the way, folks, you heard Brad mention the axe-wielding attacker in New York who evidently had converted to Islam. And, of course, the attacks in Canada, the beheading in Oklahoma City. Whether we like it or not, this is happening in our country. Some of these dudes are homegrown, but not all of them, but they are here. And if you'd like to find out more about it, and if you'd like to find out perhaps what you can do to safeguard yourself against it, go to the Streetside Grill on Wednesday night and see William Federer. He's a nationally known expert on the Islamic terrorist threat. And it's very unfortunate that we have to talk about these things, but we do. Otherwise, we are subject to, you know, the whim of the evil that's in the world. So please take advantage Wednesday, Streetside Grill. It is free. And that's, of course, downtown Orlando at Orange Avenue, right across the street from ORMC. And that's 7 o'clock Wednesday. And the parking is free as well in the back and along the street there. So Streetside Grill Wednesday. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a film that you can see tomorrow. It's called Dan Behind His Eyes. And wait till you hear what this is about, folks. I think you're going to be impressed. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you're listening to the American Adversaries on a wonderfully beautiful autumn day here in Central Florida. Boy, kind of can't get much better than this. It's going to be a beautiful weekend as well. A lot of great things going on this weekend. We're going to talk about one of them right now. There's the Orlando Film Festival going on downtown, folks. At the Cobb Plaza Theater tomorrow is where you want to be at 3 o'clock. And one of the films that you will be seeing, is called Dan Behind His Eyes. And Sherry Kevel produced this film. It's a documentary, and it's about a fellow by the name of Dan Ellis, and his daughter, Gina Ellis, is with us in the studio right now. So, Gina, tell us what the movie's about, please.
Well, my dad had ALS, and we both decided that we wanted to do something together besides him just sitting there, because ALS is like a motor immune disease, and he was unable to move. And so we just decided that we wanted to paint together, but he couldn't move his arms.
You wanted to paint together?
Yes.
You mean like artists?
Like artists.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm obviously not a professional, so he kind of helped me a little bit by using his eyes and speaking to me through an eye gaze machine called the Dynavox. And he would gaze into the eye gaze machine, and he would type out words to me and spell out what he wanted me to paint. And so we made, like, abstract paintings, like vases, and we based them off of Chihuly, and we just, like, made them together. We had so much fun. We made about, like, 8 paintings in total, I think, together.
You're speaking of your dad in the past tense. I take it he's passed away?
Yes, he passed away in June 2012.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sherry, what made you decide to do a documentary about this?
Well, I had known the Ellis family, and when I found out
that Dan had been diagnosed. We went down to spend time with him, and out of that, we saw that he was very engaged and a lot of fun and laughter and humor was in the house, and the kids were, you know, just a regular family. His two children were there, and then they had decided to start painting, and so we got a camera crew together and did a weekend, and then we realized there were so many special things happening. We extended the documentary and covered them for about 6 months.
6 months. How long after you finished did he pass away?
We completed production in March, and he passed in June.
Wow.
Sherry, going to that point time, and I know this is a tough one to answer for both of you ladies to answer, but from the time he was diagnosed to the time that he passed, how many years are we talking about?
He was diagnosed in 2010,
mm-hmm.
And I think by the time I met him in 2011 in the fall, he was completely locked in, which means he could not move any part of his body other than his eyes.
I was under the impression it took much longer than that.
It can. Yeah. They're different. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. different.
But that seems extremely, mm-hmm. extremely fast.
Yeah. What is even more rare, though, is for someone to live with this disease for an extremely long time, like Stephen Hawking has.
Yes.
That's just totally out of the ordinary. So you understand, folks, now the title of the movie, Dan Behind His Eyes. The man was still fully, aware of his situation. He was aware of who he was. This is not like Alzheimer's, not like dementia, like my mother went through. This is the opposite. My mom's body was as strong as could be. You just ask them nurses over at the nursing home there to try to take care of her. But her mind gave up. With Dan Ellis, it was the reverse. And so his mind was intact. Dr. Kay, you're a psychologist.
Yep.
What must that be like for a person to endure?
Imagine yourself being locked or trapped in a soundproof booth where you have all this ability to talk, all this information you want to get to the outside world, but none of it gets out.
And it's kind of like our worst nightmare where someone that you love is being attacked or hurt, and you can't do anything about
right.
it.
There's absolutely nothing that we can do right now that at this stage, with the research where it is. Although there are some promising things that are happening, it's taken this long to get there. But you get to the point where, as the caregiver, again, like with your mother, there's only so much that you could do, and then you get to the point where you don't know if anything you do makes a difference because you can't get a response.
Gina, you were your father's caregiver, were you not?
Well, he had like professional caregivers, but I guess I was kind of like his fun giver in a way.
Okay.
He all the time I would dress him up, and he would like jokingly get mad at me all the time. Like I would put like a bunny stuffed animal in his lap, or I would put like a hat sideways on his head, or I don't know, like a towel wrapped around his head. But it was just, I don't know, we just had so much fun together, no matter situation.
Gina, if you don't mind asking, what are your future plans? Anything to do that had to do with this disease and the fact that you've done this great documentary or helped with it?
Well, I hope to maybe start mentoring little kids who have to watch one of their parents or watch one of their family members endure ALS. And I hope to like make them realize that it's not all sadness. Like, it doesn't all just have to be about the disease. It can be about still being with your parents and still having fun despite them being so sick.
Okay.
And having fun is one of the most important things that you can still do. You don't want to let the disease become the object of everybody's attention. You want to make sure that the person who has any condition mm-hmm. can still enjoy life at some point in time. And the best thing you do is to joke around with them. And this way, they don't feel like you're just pitying them. No, we're interacting. We're going to have fun. The heck with it. Yeah, you have a condition. But you know what? It's not all you.
Sherry, I want to ask you. You were there doing this as a documentary, so you were sort of an outside observer, if you will.
Yes.
Most people would perhaps think this situation is a very sad situation. Is that the way you came away feeling?
It depended on, towards the end, there were times when I would look through the lens of the camera and it goes right into the soul through the eyes. And so I would see, that there were good days and bad days. But even on the bad days, he always found his way through, and he found things that really motivated him. The Dynavox machine really connected him to the outside world. In the morning, when he would wake up, he would calibrate his eyes to that machine. And in so doing, that allowed him to connect onto the internet as well. So he had social media, he had emailing capability, he had Facebook. So he could maintain a relationship with the outside world. And then the family was really great about leaving the door open and people coming and going constantly.
Am I wrong to gather from this that he was kind of the driving force that kept everybody else up?
I think that could be said. I think that sometimes they take turns depending. I know the kids were amazing.
Yeah.
And that was a huge motivator in his life.
I'm sure.
His son, Alec, played tennis, and Dan's a former tennis player. So they had that, you know, when he had matches, he was a part of that and coaching him and asking him about things about that.
Okay.
And of course, Gina and all of her girlfriends hanging out. He loved that.
Okay. All right. I want to go to Kevin because I don't want to keep him holding during the break. But Kevin, thank you for calling. You had a comment about this film, Dan Behind His Eyes.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, the comment would be that it's an extraordinarily beautiful film. Sherry has done an amazing job of just really taken care of this project, just loving it from day one. And I have never met Gina. I hope to meet her someday. But Gina, I just wanted to say that you're an adult in a little girl body. I mean, you're amazing to listen to speak. And I think you're going to have an amazing impact in this world based on what you've gathered from this whole project and from your father.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for calling in. And Gina is sitting here next to me. And I have to tell you, when we shot her during this documentary, she was 13 years old, turned 14. And then last week, she turned 16. So
sweet 16.
She is turning into such an amazing young woman. And she has been an inspiration to me. And as I work with this film and in post-production, it was amazing to see her and what she was doing while we were shooting.
Sherry, let me ask you this real quick. Kevin, thank you very much. Kevin, if you'll stay on the line and give Nick your address, I'd like to send you one of our sponsors' product. It's called Roxy Pacifics. It's antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, great for anything involving your skin. Dr. K uses it
because
he's a diabetic.
Wonderful.
All right, so
thank you.
Stay on the line, do that. Thank you for your call and your comment. Will you both be there tomorrow at the Cobb Theater?
Yes, we will. We will be there. We're going to be doing a Q&A after the film. We'll have some of Dan and Gina's art there on the big canvases. And we have note cards that we'll have if you'd like to have a copy.
To buy them. That's right, folks. It'll make great gift cards for Christmas and the holiday season. We'll be right back.
AM 660, The Answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com. Just a little taste of the medicine brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. Is it going to be a Republican blowout or a Democratic squeaker? Well, there's a great article today at SoundbiteRx.com exploring that. You know, early voting is underway. All right, Pat Roberts is coming back in Kansas. There's got to be a reason for it besides his personality, because that's not much there. But great article on that. Poland's minister, he's under attack after comments on Russia. By the way, Russia is testing everyone's patience right now, including the United States, along our borders with their bombers and subs and things. Also this, Iran views ISIS through a conspiracy lens. That's right. They think we're behind ISIS. Could we be? Nah. Also this, former Ferguson police chief talks about ongoing prosecution. You know, it looks like the evidence supports the police officer's account in Ferguson. Let's hope whatever the grand jury decides, there'll be a peaceful reaction to it. Okay, folks, don't be lost without going to soundbiterx.com because it's got all the information you need. We'll be right back.
Road again, ladies and gentlemen. Simple. We are back here with Sherry and Gina, the creative forces behind Dan Behind His Eyes. And Sherry, when we went to break, you said you wanted to make an extra point about this?
I do. The Orlando Film Festival, which is going on this weekend, has many different programs within the Cobb Theater, film programs. The Dan Behind His Eyes will be screening under a program of short documentaries. Okay. And audience members vote on all of the short programs at the film festival. So audience participation is really appreciated by the filmmakers. I also want to say...
What's the purpose of the voting?
Just to recognize outstanding work.
Okay, and so the film will be selected for honors based on the vote count?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have filmmakers from all over the world who have submitted films and have flown in and participating. It's real hopping down there. I just left there. It was really good. Yeah. And they really do good happy hours, too. So,
oh, yeah.
But the other thing that I want to say, the feedback I got, we screened this at the Enzion this past Sunday at their Film Slam program. And the feedback was that it's not a sad film. They were really struck by that. There's a lot of laughter and interaction and relationship and love and art and music. And we don't really focus on the disease. You know, everyone knows what ALS looks like or any terminal disease. It's not pretty. We did not focus on that. We really just focus on this daughter and this father and all the living and the alive inside for Dan and all the living that they are experiencing together.
All right. Real quickly, let me just interrupt. Dan Peterson is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes, folks, to talk a little bit about Amendment 1. He's got some latest news on that. So I'll definitely want you folks to stick around for that. And you won an award last week at the Enzian Festival, didn't you?
We did. We won first place. So at the Film Slam.
Congratulations.
That was very exciting. Gina was there, and she, I tell you, what love and support she has. All of the cheerleaders from her Bishop Moore High School showed up to cheer her on. And I just want to say, I'm going to turn it over to Gina about that. I just want to say one of the greatest recognitions that we've gotten, I'm very proud of for Dan and Gina, and our Say True Films production team. We won an award from the American Psychological Association where they used that film this summer in Washington, D.C. at their national convention as a topic of discussion on extraordinary parent-child relationships.
Yeah, I got an award from them one time. It was this cool jacket. It tied behind the back.
And these nice little buckles on it.
See, we always have fun. It's not a sad thing.
No, we call it an I Love Myself jacket.
Sherry, can I ask you just a question about the production on this? Now, I understand in a documentary, you're taking the footage first. Then were you going home and writing, or are you basically just keeping everything in line and then sitting back and watching it progress on film?
We did tape, both. Rather. We did both. When we went in, we thought, like I said, we were going to do maybe a weekend of painting, but there was so much happening within the home. So over the 6 months, different things would be, they would schedule different things and we would pick up and run over. Like on New Year's Day, I found out they were having a huge dolphin football party, which Dan used to always do anyway. So all of his friends, the house was packed. They had a dolphin big banner up. So, of course, we needed to be there with a camera because where he used to take his family on worldwide vacations, the world was coming to him at this point. Mm. And that was really important. So we would just find out what was going on and make ourselves available and kind of let it write itself as a documentary can. And then when we sat down in the editing room, of course, we had, you know, how many hours of footage. Mm-hmm. But this particular piece, this is a short. We took a day in the life of Dan and Gina. That's what this is about. Okay. Just a Sunday afternoon of painting together. We do have enough footage and some very interesting stories. We have two musicians who participated, MC Search from Third Base, iconic rapper, white Jewish rapper out of Detroit and then on to New York. He and Dan collaborated on a rap called Blink. And then we have a music composer, his sister, out of North Carolina. And our crew actually drove to North Carolina together. We had a road trip.
Wow.
And a lot of cool footage there, but also going into the sound recording booth there of them recording the song. And it is featured in the documentary.
Let me ask Gina. Gina, you had obviously, well, let me ask you, had you ever aspired to be on film, or was this something new to you, and does it seem strange?
I used to do plays when I was younger, like fifth and sixth grade, but I never imagined myself being in a documentary, let alone featured in a documentary. So it was something so cool to me and something like maybe I want a spider to do when I'm older.
All right. I want to bring Nostradamus in on this, and then I have a very special question for you, Gina. Nostradamus.
Hi, guys. How are you all doing this Friday?
Excellent.
Hey, Nostra.
Nostradamus is our executive producer, and sounds like a great film, doesn't it, Dennis?
Oh, it does, man. You know, I love the fact that we can get people from films like this on the air with us. I want to guide as many people as possible towards this film. I think it's going to be good.
And once again, it's at the Cobb Plaza Theater. That's right, you know, at the heart of downtown tomorrow, starting to get down there at 3 o'clock, folks, so you can get a ticket and get on in and see this thing. And, Gina, I understand that your father wrote you a letter.
Yes, he wrote me a letter about just going on in my life and just, like, succeeding in life and persevering and never stop like being who I am and always having a close relationship with my brother and just being happy despite the things that life has given me so far and just keep on going, keep being happy and that he's always going to love me.
And he wanted you to open this letter at a special time.
Well, he gave me a letter about 3 years ago, but he also gave me a video on my birthday. And the video was back in 2010 when his speech was slightly slurred, and he wanted to give it to me for my 16th birthday, which was last week, and I just watched the video. And it obviously made me really sad and brought back so many memories because, like, he wanted to be there for my 16th birthday, but he just mostly said just to keep on, well, he called me his angel like he always does, and just to keep on being myself and never giving up and that he loves me no matter where he is and no matter in my life, he'll always love me.
You want to know what? I'd bet the farm that he was there with you on your 16th birthday.
He was.
Yeah. This whole discussion we've had about the movie, mm-hmm. It reminds me of one of my favorite TV shows, the way it sounds like it was shot, because I haven't seen it yet, but the Touched by an Angel series, mm-hmm. where they would take some of the most difficult, some of the most heart-wrenching scenarios that a family or a couple or people could live through, and then made you feel so good at the end.
Absolutely.
Is
thank
that
you.
What this is?
That's a really, thank you for that, and now or connecting us to that. I would like people to walk away saying that is their experience, that really was our motivation and our commitment. I wanted a film, yes, like that, and I wanted a film that Alec and Gina could show to their friends and their family forever, their own children one day, if that happens, where they were really proud of that relationship and how they handled the situation. We don't really need to go into any of the other, you know, medical things mm-hmm. that are required around ALS, and so that made it really easy for us to choose what are we focusing on here today as we make this film, and then to be there on Sunday, it happens naturally. The natural light shining through the window. They've got their canvas out. They've got music playing. They've got their Chihuly art motivation. So it really happened naturally as well.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we work with other areas in psychology. I like to get my patients to focus on the things that they can do.
Yes.
Rather than to focus on the things that they can no longer do or don't have access to do, but focus on what you can do that day. And I learned that by being with the Erickson Foundation, you know, as, you know, being able to expand on those things as often as you can, and then to just be able to use that as the motivator in your life.
Absolutely.
Be positive.
Yeah, sure. I was just going to ask you, is there a way people are going to be able to purchase this documentary?
That's a good question. We right now have film festival rights to our music only. And so we would have to do some changing of the music or else get some really nice people to say, yeah, you can use that song forever and ever. But the other option is that we would donate this film to ALS and let them use it. I kind of call it that this film is a part of an ALS quilt of hero stories. And I would love for them to be, feel that they could just show this as a, at fundraisers. And
I think that's very important. And Nostra Dennis, I want you to chime in on this because I think you know who I'm talking about. We have a friend, Mike McBath, president of the former NFL Players National Union, and he invites us to their get-togethers about once a month. Dr. K knows what I'm talking about. And one of the players there, Walter Briggs, his wife has ALS.
Okay.
And he stood up at one of the meetings, and this was sort of right in the middle of the ice bucket campaign.
Yes.
And he said, you know, it's great, that's all fine and dandy, but every bit of that money is going to research. Not one penny is going to the people. Didn't he say, Nostra Dennis, who are actually suffering with the disease?
That's right. He said, it's great that the research is being done, but what about me? What about my wife? And what about the families of other folks who are stricken by ALS right now, real time, not 10 years down the road?
I see.
And so I think that your documentary could kind of help make that point, even if subtly so.
It could. And the exciting thing is I've been traveling with the film this year to film festivals around the country. And I just returned from Ohio in Chagrin Falls, where I was a part of the Chagrin Falls Documentary Film Festival. I'm leaving November 5th for the Alexandria, Virginia Film Festival. The way that people can support directly, because we are grassroots, and as far as being able to get the film out there, my website, saytruefilms.com, S-A-Y, truefilms with an S.com, we have Gina and Dan's artwork on that website. And the note cards, you get 12 for $15. And actually, I always say I've been begging, borrowing, and not stealing to get to all these festivals. Every penny goes into where we are in the process right now. We've made the film. We went through post-production. We've got the film being seen. And now we just have to get it and travel with it and talk. They always have Q&As, and they bring ALS people show up and support us. So that's a way to help us directly and to keep us going and getting the film out there.
That's saytruefilms.com, and you can email Sherry there at Sherry, S-H-E-R-I, at saytruefilms.com. I love this. She's got a little card they hand out at these films about, a little brief about the film, Dan Behind His Eyes, and on the back it says, three worst letters of the alphabet, ALS. Three creative letters of the alphabet, A-R-T. Three inspirational letters of the alphabet, D-A-N.
That's
great. Dennis, this sounds like one we need to catch, huh?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Now, can you tell me, is the film going to be ready, and will it be entered in next April's Florida Film Festival here in Orlando?
Well, thank you for asking that. We just, in winning Film Slam at the Enzion, it does put us in the running for being considered for their Brouhaha Film Festival in November. And then if we win that, or if we are hand-selected by the committee at the Enzion, we could be in the Florida Film Festival under the Brouhaha program of the Florida Film Festival.
Right. That's a great festival. I love going there.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll be downtown tomorrow at the Cobb Plaza Theater. And by the way, folks, that address is 155 South Orange Avenue. So it's just south of Central there. It's right, you know, the heart of downtown, one of those big, tall buildings. Just look for that. And it's at the base of that. Cobb Plaza. Then you said the parking, you can get
Yes. The parking's, if you turn off of Orange onto Church, it's a one-way. So just turn left there and go into a parking garage. Take your parking stub with you, and the theater validates it. So parking the entire day is $2. Also, your ticket allows you to see as many films as you want. They start at 11 in the morning and they go to 11 at night. And so, and that one pass gets you in for the whole day.
And what does that cost?
$15.
All right. And your film is going to air between the 3 and
5:30. Okay. And that is under the short documentary program.
All right. So, folks, please come down and join us tomorrow.
And vote.
And vote. Yeah. Right. The Cobb Plaza Theater, downtown Orlando. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. We're going to change gears a little bit here. Sherry and Gina are going to stay in the studio, but Dr. K, you got something you got to do,
you
my
know,
man.
I'd love to stay, guys. And the conversation with these lovely ladies in the studios is quite a change from just being in here with you and Lair.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I don't want to run out here, but you know, I've got to be at the airport at 4:45.
All right,
in the morning, catch that Honor flight up to D.C., and then come back tomorrow night.
Well, you enjoy yourself. And
go home, go eat, go to bed.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. And the film sounds wonderful. I wish I could be here tomorrow, but I got to be on the honor flight.
Thank you. I'll catch it.
When can I catch it? And anybody else who misses it tomorrow?
Well, we'd have maybe in the brouhaha in November at the Enzian.
Okay.
And I'll let Chris know when that would be. That would be fantastic. That's a wonderful theater, too.
Yep.
And then if we win that, then again in the spring during the Florida Film Festival.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. I want to bring in now Dan Peterson. Of course, Dan is with the Coalition for Property Rights. Dan, thanks again for being with us.
Good to be here again. Thank you, sir.
This Amendment 1 thing is heating up. You know, on the surface of it, a lot of people think, you know, this is a great idea. You know, we'll protect our fresh water and stuff like that. But we found out from the Libertarian candidate for governor the other night, Adrian Wiley, that the state of Florida oftentimes seeks out prime real estate to buy with this money and then turns around and uses it.
Well, and I just heard a report that Bill Gates wants to buy a huge swath of property down in South Florida. So they say maybe he wants to go in the farming business, but as an investor, that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, it might not. So what do you got the latest on this?
Well, I was just thinking this is the first weekend of early voting, and it's a lot more difficult for people to get out and early vote on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. But so I was just thinking this is another good opportunity to remind everybody of some of the dangers, you know, that we would see with Amendment 1 as it's coming down the road. And, you know, I think we've talked about that on some different occasions about how this amendment is going to take part of the legislature's budgeting responsibility and put it into the Constitution for 20 years. So that's a 20-year mandate, and that kind of handcuffs our legislature, who really has to look at all of the needs of Florida, not just a special interest group. So that's a pretty big concern. And, of course, you know, even the proponents of this estimate this is going to be $18 to $19 billion of money. And wasn't too long ago, I saw a videotape of Bob Graham speaking, and he said that as soon as if this passes, what they will move to do is sell bonds to the public. They want to borrow all of that money up front based on, you know, the doc stamp money coming in over the next 20 years to repay those bonds.
Right. That'll be like the collateral for it.
So, and he says we have to buy that land immediately because in 20 years it won't be there. Now, I don't know where that land is going to go, but I guess he's planning it. He reads
the future.
That's
like buying swamp land to build a house on, right?
Could be.
If it's not going to be there, I mean, yeah. Okay. Right.
But, you know, if the state wants to take on an $18 billion debt.
Right.
Against the future payment of dock stamps, that's fine if the economy is going to be normal and growing, but if it tanks.
This is the problem I have with Amendment 1. It's kind of like stealing from one part of the government to refund it some other way that they're not telling us yet, because the dock stamp money is already being spent on something else, right?
It is.
Uh-huh. So it will be reappropriated money. So now they're going to have to make up for the money that just got reappropriated. And he's talking about these bonds or whatever. Well, of course, you got to pay the doggone things back, right?
That's right.
Borrowing money, right?
And if the dock stamp money...
So that's all we need is to put the state of Florida billions of dollars in debt.
Well, and we just sent out some newsletters regarding that, because if the dock stamp money turns out not to be there over 20 years,
right,
who gets left holding that bag? That's you and I, we the people, the taxpayers.
Right.
We have to make up that difference.
And already we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year toward this effort anyway, are we not?
Oh, and, you know, Governor Scott has really done a lot in terms of offering programs and funding for environmental protection and purifying our water, things like that. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars of programs, and Florida Forever has still continued to receive a lot of funds to buy property. So,
yeah. I want to bring Nostradamus in now because he's been scouring for some poll numbers. I know you got poll numbers on candidates, Nostradamus, but did you find anything on, like, these amendments?
No, I did not. It's really hard for companies like, Real Clear Politics, Rasmussen. Normally, they don't go after the amendments when it comes to polling. Dan, you might know some poll numbers. I don't know.
Do you, Dan?
Well, the only thing that I read, and I didn't hear a name of a poll, but I was told secondhand that although the people in the poll recently greatly, by a good number, I think 70% favored Amendment 1, the majority of people out there are still as yet undecided. So I think, again, that's why we want to get the Coalition for Property Rights analysis out there. People can go to the website, proprights.com, and read the analysis. It's in the lower left-hand corner of our homepage under Amendment 1. They can read the amendment itself, and they can read an analysis, and they can make their own choice. So very important that people get that information so they make a good decision when they go to vote.
Yeah. You mentioned Bill Gates wanting to buy up some land. I can foresee a guy like him buying up a bunch of real estate now, assuming that this amendment is going to pass, and then guess what he's going to do? He's going to jack up the price of that land and sell it back to the state.
Well, and that frequently happens, and that's actually been a concern for, who's going to monitor potential fraud in all of this?
Well, and that's the downside. I mean, this sounds so good. We all want clean water and air. Of course we do.
Of course we do.
But we need to be careful about where we spend our money to get it.
Yep.
Because we'll end up with the same dirty water, but Bill Gates a whole lot richer.
Yeah.
All right.
And a lot of other people.
All right. Nostradamus, you got any poll numbers on the governor's race, sir?
Yep. But first I had a photo everywhere. You'd log on. There'd be a social media area. It'd be wonderful.
I can see a petting zoo with a bunch of goats in there, too, right?
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Billy Goats at Billy Gate. All right, Dennis, the poll numbers, please.
Yes, the Florida governor's race is the one that's uppermost in most of our minds here.
Yeah.
And of the last five major polls, Tampa Bay Times News poll, CNN, SurveyUSA, Rasmussen, and Quinnipiac, all in the last 2 weeks, four of those five polls come up with a dead heat. They have them tied anywhere from 40 points each, Tampa Bay Times, up to 47 points each, Rasmussen. So chances are whoever loses this election, their supporters are going to blame Adrian Wiley for throwing the whole election into a confusion.
Yeah.
Dennis, I got to tell you, one of the things I've been thinking about recently that really it sways me for a certain direction, and that is whoever wins this governorship is going to be nominating a lot of judges. And I can't help but think that Charlie Crist is going to nominate the most liberal judges available that anybody can find, and I don't necessarily think Scott will.
All right. Nostradamus, we're about out of time, so I want to thank you for your work, and we appreciate you being there for us, sir.
All right. See you guys.
All right. He's heading back over to headquarters. Dan.
Just real quickly, the source on that Bill Gates potential purchase came off of a new report by Florida Tax Watch. So people could go to that website. I think it's floridataxwatch.com and read it themselves. I've just heard about it myself, so that'll be interesting to follow up on.
All right. And by the way, Dan plays a mean guitar and sings along with it, too. Where are you playing this weekend, Dan?
Nowhere this weekend. I've got this weekend off. So
what about next weekend?
Got something. I'm not doing anything with the busy election season.
Yeah.
I've literally in the last 2 weeks been anywhere from Pensacola down to Stuart, Florida, speaking to various groups and stuff. That's been the priority. Once Election Day is over, down at a place in Windermere called the Vineyard, and I'll be over at...
I know a great movie you can watch on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Downtown.
All right.
Dan, thanks for
being
with us.
Thank you guys very much.
And thanks for hanging out. Sherry, once again, tomorrow, good luck.
Thank you.
I'll be there, and looking forward to seeing you guys downtown.
Thank you so much.
Gina?
Thank you.
And what's that?
Thank you.
Yeah, and so we appreciate you guys coming in today. So it wasn't too bad being on radio, was it?
No, I loved it.
Gina, I've got a daughter who's almost twice your age, and I got to tell you, I know your father would be very proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, he would. All right, folks, Dan Behind His Eyes, a short film documentary that you can see tomorrow at the Cobb Theater downtown, Cobb Plaza Theater. That's 155 South Orange Avenue, right in the heart of downtown. And you can park at the garage right there on Church Street, just east of the theater, and you can get your parking stub validated and only park the whole day for $2. And so, Sherry, once again, and thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
By the way, these are beautiful cards that you can buy that have this artwork on them. We have them here in the studio, folks, and they make great greeting cards for the holiday or for any occasion. You can even frame these things. I mean,
yeah, they really are wonderful.
Thank you.
Beautiful pieces of art.
Well, thank you for the support. I love being here. Really, thank you so much.
And Gina, I hope you'll keep doing artwork.
I'll try. Thank you so much.
I think your dad would love that, too.
We'd love to see you again.
Dan, thanks.
All right, my pleasure.
All right. And Dr. K, we'll be talking to you later, too. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660.